Susan Robb for Teachers for a New Era. I'm talking with Lori Halse Anderson, who has written close to 30 books for children and young adults. The books include Speak, Catalyst, Prom, Twisted, Winter Girls, and historical novels Fever, 1793, and Chains. Her first book, Speak, which was about a girl who has closed off relationships after being the victim of rape, was introduced into the industry when Publishers Weekly called it a stunning first novel. It was a Prince Honor book, given for excellence in young adult literature, a National Book Award finalist, and became a New York Times bestseller. It's also been used now in the curriculum in many middle schools and high schools, and has been made into a film. Her second book, Fever, 1793, was an historical novel, and was a period in American history that seems particularly timely now, since we're focused on health-related issues and disease. That book received a Margaret A. Edwards Award for Lifetime Achievement in Young Adult Literature, and nearly a million copies of that book have been sold. Other books, like Twisted, is told from a young man's point of view as he struggles with his identity. That debuted on the New York Times bestseller list and was an American Library Association best book for young adults, and was also a YALSA Teen Top 10. Her book Chains was just awarded the 2009 Scott O'Dell Award, given for historical fiction, and was also a National Book finalist. So, Lori, thank you for joining me. I wanted to first ask you, I thought it was interesting when I read that you initially didn't consider yourself a professional writer, but that you like doing it. So why do you feel it's important for you personally to write, and especially for young people?
I've been writing my entire life for fun, for myself, for self-expression, and to kind of find some peace. I didn't study English in college. I studied linguistics. But I was always writing, you know, the stories and the poems and the ideas that would float along. And, you know, I'm not the brightest apple in the barrel. And it took me a while to figure out that I could take my passion, what I did for fun, and try to turn that into something more lasting and try to have books published.
Now, when you wrote when you were young, did you write some of the kinds of things that you're doing here in your novels, or writing about some very difficult topics? Did you write about people or circumstances that you knew, or was it diary form? What did you write then?
I wrote a lot of very bad poetry, which thankfully has all been lost, and wouldn't want anybody to read it now. But when I was a teenager and struggling with my own issues, poetry was a real source of solace for me. When I was a child, I didn't write stories. I used to act stories out, and there were a lot of them were survival stories, which I think you can see in some of my fiction. And it was. I'm just thinking about the journal writing that I did. It was very raw and very, you know, what was in my heart poured out into the page, not in a really good shape either.
Now, the topics that you've written about, I mean, the books are amazing, and I know you've been told that a lot, but the topics that you're writing about are extraordinarily difficult topics. I mean, kids struggling with things like anorexia, bulimia, you know, image issues, things that are very, very difficult. Do you think it's harder to be a teenager today than it was when you were a teenager, or do you think these are just issues manifesting in different ways?
No, I think it's harder than it has ever been. The issues that were issues when I was a teenager in the 1970s are certainly there today, but the stakes are higher. Sexually transmitted diseases will kill you now. When I was a kid, well, you would get an infection and go, but the stakes have become incredibly high. The change in culture, where children are exposed more and more often without adult oversight to incidences, you know, sexual behaviors, drug abuse, things like that, without having any context and any guidance, leads so many of our young kids down dangerous paths. And then you look at, for example, even the economy today, which puts more pressures on families, more pressures on adults, and leaves a lot of children confused and broken and not having adults they feel they can turn to.
What about parents? It's a funny time, I think, as a parent, but also I think the thing about it that strikes me is that parents in one way seem to be super engaged, managing every minute of a kid's life. But then what does that mean when it comes to actually engaging when kids need to face an issue?
Yeah, I wonder about that when I know some of these parents and I've seen them in action where they hyper-schedule their children's lives. And the one thing, the most important thing doesn't make it onto the schedule, and that's that relaxed, free-form time hanging out with mom and dad. Kids need that a whole lot more than they need travel soccer. And when I look at families that are doing well economically and the kids are lacking FaceTime with their parents, and I look at the families that are struggling economically and those kids aren't seeing their parents enough either because mom and dad have to work so much. I've never met a teenager who didn't wish that there were more adults paying attention to them in a loving way.
Now, it puts pressure on the schools, I imagine, too, because your books are in the curriculum. But so they've actually been trying to address or have connect with kids over some of the emotional issues, maybe.
Well, it's not a school's responsibility to be a psychologist. I think English teachers are very smart, and they recognize that there's this whole new body of literature, young adult contemporary literature, that is literature with all the kinds of literary devices that we want our good stories to have. But when they share a book with a child that speaks to that child's experience or connects with that kid at a deep level, A, you have an engaged reader, and B, you open the door to the kind of thoughtful, mature discussions that will lead adolescents into adulthood in a safe way.
What do kids tell you, or do they? What's the age bracket that actually reads it? Not the age bracket on the book, but the age bracket of kids who approach you on your books. And what do they tell you? Where do they try and connect with you?
Well, my historical novels are a slightly younger audience, and I do get plenty of mail and email from kids, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th grade. And then as they get into 8th grade, that's sort of the shift, and that's when the kids start to pick up my YA contemporary novels. And I hear from them a lot, thanks to the internet. They're my Facebook friends, my MySpace friends. They read my blogs, they email me, and they still sometimes send old-fashioned letters. And the thing that I hear consistently is, thank you for telling the truth. You know, thank you for being honest about this situation or that situation. And so many of them find comfort in reading books about characters who may not have exactly the same issues, but who are struggling with anxiety and depression and sadness. I have a moral responsibility to write books that end on a note of hope. And so I think for kids who are struggling, it's important for them to read books in which characters go through those hard times and find hope and move forward.
Now, I wondered about the books when you've been writing them, which ones have been particularly challenging? I mean, with Twisted, you were writing from a boy's point of view.
Right.
With Speak, you're writing about a girl who won't communicate. So what were the challenges with particular books for you?
Well, I actually kind of set a challenge for myself with each book, because to write the same book over and over again would be deadly boring. With Speak, the challenge was, how do you write a book about a girl who won't talk? Twisted is from a guy's point of view. My historical novels, I have to immerse myself in the history well enough to be able to get in the voice of a character and communicate. I think writing historical fiction is like writing multicultural fiction, because I'm writing outside my time period, so it is a different culture. Catalyst, I wanted to tell the story of a character who's not a terribly likable person at first. You know, she's one of those kids who looks like she's perfect, and I had to find a way to engage the reader long enough to go underneath that superficial layer. Prom is my story that's a little bit the lone book out there in which nobody dies or comes to serious bodily harm. And I just wanted to tell a really fun story. There was a challenge. I wanted to write a book about a kid who loves her parents, and her parents who are married to each other, which you never see in fiction anymore. Her parents love her. So it's a strong family, and still, she has some things to work through. And the most challenging book has been the newest one, Winter Girls. That was a hard book to write because emotionally I had to go into the place where the character lives, and that's a very dark place.
Yeah, it was a very dark place. It was interesting with Winter Girls because you're talking about a girl haunted or overshadowed by a death. There's not, and interesting about the different people in her world and how they've reacted to it. And I think that's something, with a death, a lot of times the premises, okay, you know, let's all move on, and she can't really do that.
Right. Well, and that's the whole concept of my view of people struggling with eating disorders is that they are trapped between two worlds. They're in a liminal place between life and death. They're not dead, but they certainly aren't living. And so that was the challenge in that book, is to write that. And I think, too, one of the things that is interesting for me is to each one of the YA books, to get in the head of that first-person narrator and to look out through their eyeballs and see the world as it looks to them. And as adults, sometimes we forget that the world looks different to teenagers than it does to us as adults. So that's challenging, too, to kind of step back into my 15-year-old self and go through that again.
Yeah, I was wondering, were you always able to tap back? Was it a period that you thought a lot about, or was it something that just when you started writing about it, you started to really be able to tap back into it?
Well, I could not stop being a teenager fast enough. I hated high school. I had a miserable time. I just ran out and have never gone back. What happened for me is I started to write picture books when my children were little. And then as my children got older and as a mom, I grew with them. When my oldest daughter was in sixth grade is when I wrote Speak. And I think it was because I was starting to see her enter early adolescence, which brought a lot of things back for me. And so I've stayed there ever since.
Now, one of the things I had read is that you've said that an organization we're both involved with, Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators, yes, had a lot you felt to do with the early part of your being able to be part of the industry. Tell me about that, because some people may not know about it.
I wouldn't be published if it weren't for the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators. It's referred to as scbwi.org, if you want to go to the website. And it is the community of people who are interested in writing and illustrating books for children. I had the passion and I had the ideas. I had no craft, no technique, and I had no clue about the publication process, the business side. And through SCBWI, I was able to meet people in the community, become a member of writers groups, so start to work on the craft part of becoming a good writer. And then when my books were finally well written enough to be published, SCBWI offered workshops and gave me access to information to help me find publishers and agents and things like that. So I completely owe everything to them.
I like that. Let me ask you, too, in your website, which is just beautiful, and it's writerlady.com, in your website, there are all different aspects to it, including connected to that, a blog and a live journal. Tell me just different ways maybe that readers or educators, people can connect with you.
Oh, absolutely. Well, first, there's all kinds of resources on the website for all the different age groups who read my books. For the older teens, there are information about, you know, why did I write the book? If you're dealing with this issue, here's some places you can go for help. The historical books, I have links to websites that will offer more visuals or more complete information about the historical topics. And we've just started, for my picture books, putting games on the website, and that's been kind of fun. People can contact me and interact with me in a lot of different ways. My email address is on the website. We do answer all the emails. Sometimes it takes a little while. The snail mail address, because we still do mail the old-fashioned way. I love it when people write in questions to me in my live journal. You can just anonymously put a question in comments, because then I can answer the comments publicly, and then everybody who's had that question can see the answers. I also friend everybody who's a nice person on Facebook and MySpace, and I've been Twittering, which is a really fun way to connect with people in a really, you know, just kind of high, casual, friendly way. So, and it's funny, I live way out in the boondocks. You know, I live in the country, and it's fairly isolated, and I like it that way. But I also, I miss people, you know, so it's nice to have all these different ways to connect to readers and friends.
Yeah, another thing I read was that you had considered yourself a shy person, but now you think maybe that's changed.
Well, no, I'm always going to be a shy person, but I've been so blessed with such good friends, and my readers are my friends, and it's hard to be shy around your friends. I get shy, like, if I get lost at the airport, which happened just the other day, it's very hard for me to go up to a stranger and ask questions. But if that person was holding a book and it was a book I was interested in, I would totally go up and ask, oh, well, tell me, what do you think about that book? And so as long as I'm in my little book universe, I'm a total extrovert. And when I have to step outside into the rest of the world, I'm very quiet and anxiety ridden.
So the books are the intermediate friend.
Yes, that's right. My protective layer. That's a good way to put it. Yeah, I like that.
Let me ask, too, what about what's coming or what kinds of things you haven't written about but have been areas that you'd like to cover?
Well, right now I'm finishing up my next historical novel. That's Forge. That takes the characters in chains through the year 1777 and 78. The main character is Curzon, who's the young boy in chains, so it's told from a male perspective. He's in the Battle of Saratoga, and he winds up with the Continental Army at Valley Forge for that winter, a very cold, long winter. And then there'll be a third book to round out that story arc. So Forge is almost done. That'll be out in the fall of 2010. Next up is a picture book about Abigail Adams. And there's a slew of historical nonfiction picture books that I want to write, because such fascinating characters to write about. And I'm beginning to start thinking about my next YA novel. I don't know what it's going to be yet. I really love flip-flopping, going from writing the historicals to writing the contemporary, because for some reason it just works well within my brain.
And with the novels, where does that come from for you? Is it that a character crops up and suddenly a book starts to evolve, or does the story happen first, or can it vary?
Looking back, a lot of my novels were written about something that made me angry. Anger is a very strong emotion, and it's very motivating. It gets your energy level up. And maybe with the exception of Prom, Catalyst was written because of my frustration with the pressures that high-achieving kids feel that they're put under, and also my frustration with the way I feel too many schools abandon kids who are in vo-tech classes. You know, we don't respect people who work with their hands in this country, and that makes me very angry. So when I see a portion of teen life or teen culture where I see kids being disrespected or kids being left out in the cold, somehow I incorporate that into my own spirit, and then a character will start to whisper. And when the character starts to whisper, then I start to take notes.
It's interesting, because that's something that you hear when writers talk about it, and I think for people who haven't quite started writing, it's hard to understand what that is, but it's a very real thing.
Oh, yeah, completely. I mean, when I used to visit schools a lot, I would tell the kids, I have voices in my head that are not mine. And it's very comforting. You know, it would be so lonely not to have that. And it's not scary, it's just I guess I have a big head. There's lots of room up there.
Well, Lori, thank you for talking with me and sharing this, and we'll look forward to more historical novels and a new YA novel, and thanks very much.
Thank you. This is really fun. I had a good time.